Hey everybody, Aaron Herman of The Open Scroll here. Today is Tuesday, November 29th, about 4:15 p.m., which means we're in the fifth day of the ninth month on the Lord's calendar, and I'm here with Bob Schlenker.
Hey everybody. Well, today we got a pretty simple subject that we want to talk about. Aaron went to the ER, the emergency room, and things went down a little differently from what they had in the past. Aaron, would you talk about that?
Certainly, sir. Yeah, Sunday was a rough day. Kind of woke up and not feeling good, and got progressively worse as the day went on. And we did our normal routine of seeking the Lord and His provision, and did what we could here. And it became apparent I needed to put an emergency call in to my doctor, and I got a hold of him and told him what was going on. And his quick advice, which was pretty unusual, was to head into the ER. And that's not his usual advice. So that spoke to both of us very loudly that something interesting was going on. So called Bob, told him, and we were in agreement that was the thing to do. So kind of got packed up and ready and called 911 and waited for them to arrive. And as I was waiting for the ambulance, a police officer showed up to check in to see if I was okay, to see what was going on, because the ambulances were very busy, and he was afraid it was going to be a long time till one showed up. So he wanted to check in, and after he showed up, and he said, "Well, let me radio the ambulance and see how far away they are." And right as on the radio, just a few seconds later, they said, "We're 1 minute away." So it's like, okay, this is interesting already how this is going down. So the EMT showed up and assessed me, and he took me in, and the ambulance ride there, everything was pretty normal, pretty standard. And when I got there, they took me right back into the room, and wasn't more than 5 minutes or so than one of the physician's assistants came in, which is pretty rare. Normally it's usually a 30-45 minute wait, but she came right in, said, "Okay, what's going on?" I explained what was going on, wasn't feeling well, and with the chronic condition I had, the complications with that. She goes, "Okay, well, we'll get some fluids, and we'll get some swabs and tests for flu and the unmentionable, and we'll take it from there." So right there, that was the heads up. And the Lord had kind of given me a heads up prep in the ambulance ride over, a reminder of the very stark limit that He put on me when the unmentionable came out a couple years ago, that there would be no testing allowed. That's a very hard line that He gave me. And that had not been a test that I had to experience as of yet. But when she said that, I knew it's like, okay, this is where we are. This is what's going to be going on. So the Lord gave me a heads up and had me ready for that. So the nurse did her thing, took the information, pretty standard. And then a few minutes later, she came back in with a bag of fluids and a little kit. And she goes, "Okay, we're going to do the swab for the flu and for the unmentionable thing." And I said, No, there will be nothing going up my nose. And I had texted Bob at that point a little earlier, given him the heads up of what they were doing, and made it very clear what my position was. And in previous seasons, I would have allowed for a testing of the flu, but not now. I had absolutely no trust that they were going to do what they say they were going to do and not try to pull a fast one. I had absolutely no trust in that whatsoever. And my position was nothing's going in the nose, regardless, no matter what. So the nurse didn't say anything. She said, "Okay," and went about her business. And then a little bit later, the physician's assistant came back in, the first woman I saw and interacted with, kind of grilling me as to why I would refuse something just as inane and as simple as the flu swab. I said, "Well, it's a personal preference." And then she kept grilling me. "Is it because of pain?" I said, "No." "Well, what's the reason? It could make a difference in how we treat you. We could give you Tamiflu, which I'd refuse anyway." So I said, "No, it's a personal preference. There won't be anything going in my nose. I won't be doing it." She goes, "Well, okay. If you change your mind, let me know." So out she went. I said, "Okay, I got a feeling this isn't over yet, but we'll see." So at this point, they did their blood work, did their other tests, and I'm sitting there waiting. And in the couple of things I really needed, I wasn't getting yet. So that's pretty par for the course. That they did eventually start some fluids, which was a help. That's one of the things I really did need. Did the chest x-ray, some other, pretty normal testing to rule out pneumonia and things of that nature. And then the attending, kind of the guy overseeing the entire emergency room, came in to talk to me and said, "Well, everything looks okay. But how are you feeling? What's going on? I said, well, to be honest, I'm feeling pretty terrible. And what normally happens in this situation, I normally get admitted and get a couple days of IV steroids and IV fluids to really come out of a situation this severe. He goes, okay, no problem. We can admit you, sure. Just do a quick swab and we'll get you upstairs. I'm like, ah, okay, so there's the catch. I figured, never had a doctor be that willing to acquiesce to just admit me and give me steroids and fluids and take care of me. But that was the price of admission, was going to be a swab for the unmentionable. I said, well, in that case, forget it. I'll just go home. And he just got this incredulous look on his face. He was wearing a mask, but you could tell his mouth was open. He's like, you'd rather go home than just take the simple swab. I said, yes, sir. There will be nothing going in my nose tonight. Why? Personal preference. He goes, well, you do realize it doesn't go the whole way up like it used to, where it would almost puncture the brain. It just goes right in the side of the nose. Trust me. I said, no, that's not going to be happening. He's like, okay, it's your call. We're not going to force anything. And we'll just, okay. And he left the room, and I texted Bob, let him know what was going on. I actually called at that point, and we had a conversation, and I kept him abreast of things, and we were kind of praising the Lord for giving the heads up and helping us get the win there. But it wasn't over, not yet. He comes back in and he says, well, how about this? We don't have to do the swab for the unmentionable. I can just put you on a floor with people that we know have the unmentionable and the really severe cases of the flu. You want to do that? It's like, nope, don't want to do that either. That doesn't sound like a good thing. So, but let me make a phone call and I'll let you know. So I called Bob and we talked about it and I told him what was going on and we were both on the same page there. That was just kind of a threat and more coercion, and they were pushing hard. They wanted to get whatever that was in my nose or get me around the people who had the unmentionable and put me in a really bad spot. So got off the phone with Bob and I told the attending, I thanked him for his offer, but I was going to politely refuse, and I was just going to go home. And once again, the look of incredulity there, and looking at me like I was just insane and some sort of crazy person, and that's how it went down. But the Lord was really bringing to mind there very strongly something that He had told me and has told me repeatedly over the last several months relating to Philippians, being obedient unto death. Those can't be just words. This has to be something we're prepared to walk out and to trust Him. And that was His victory there. I'm very grateful for His provision and strength and courage, because there were times in the past, before I was seasoned and helped, where I used to be very afraid going into the ER many years ago. But He has helped a great deal, and all that fear is gone, and the trust in Him is there, and I'm very, very grateful and thankful for that. So that was a real eye-opener. And then when I called and talked to Bob, we kind of got a better sense of what the Lord had been orchestrating there, because it was an unusual day. We could tell the whole day there was something more than just not feeling good going on. And then, as usual, we didn't really have the understanding ahead of time, but once it was all said and done, we could look back and kind of piece it together, and then that's when the insight came. So that was the day. That was the day.
We needed a testimony. There it is. God is good. He's so good to us.
Amen.
And you have changed over the years, my friend.
Oh, glory to God for that. He has been very merciful and patient and extremely good to me, no doubt.
Well, let's move on to the next part of the program. We've got the Bible, scriptures. Aaron?
Excellent. Thank you, Sirius. Starting with Genesis 15, verse 1. After these things, the word of the Lord came unto Abram in a vision, saying, Fear not, Abram, I am thy shield and thy exceeding great reward. And next we have 2 Corinthians 1, verses 3 through 11. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of mercies and God of all comfort, who comforts us in all our affliction, so that we will be able to comfort those who are in any affliction with the comfort with which we ourselves are comforted by God. For just as the sufferings of Christ are ours in abundance, so also our comfort is abundant through Christ. But if we are afflicted, it is for your comfort and salvation. Or if we are comforted, it is for your comfort, which is effective in the patient enduring of the same sufferings which we also suffer. And our hope for you is firmly grounded, knowing that as you are sharers of our sufferings, so also you are sharers of our comfort. For we do not want you to be unaware, brethren, of our affliction which came to us in Asia, that we were burdened excessively beyond our strength, so that we despaired even of life. Indeed, we had the sentence of death within ourselves, so that we would not trust in ourselves, but in God who raises the dead, who delivered us from so great a peril of death, and will deliver us, he on whom we have set our hope, and he will yet deliver us. You also joining and helping us through your prayers, so that thanks may be given by many persons on our behalf for the favor bestowed on us through the prayers of many. And next we have Lamentations 3, verses 21 through 24. This I recall to my mind, therefore I have hope. The Lord's loving kindnesses indeed never cease, for his compassions never fail. They are new every morning. Great is your faithfulness. The Lord is my portion, says my soul. Therefore I have hope in him. And Hebrews 4, verses 14 through 16. Therefore, since we have a great high priest who has passed through the heavens, Jesus, the Son of God, let us hold fast our confession. For we do not have a high priest who cannot sympathize with our weaknesses, but one who has been tempted in all things, as we are, yet without sin. Therefore, let us draw near with confidence to the throne of grace, so that we may receive mercy and find grace to help in time of need. And next, 2 Corinthians 4, verses 7 through 18. But we have this treasure in earthen vessels, so that the surpassing greatness of the power will be of God, and not from ourselves. We are afflicted in every way, but not crushed, perplexed, but not despairing, persecuted, but not forsaken, struck down, but not destroyed, always carrying about in the body the dying of Jesus, so that the life of Jesus also may be manifested in our body. For we who live are constantly being delivered over to death for Jesus' sake, so that the life of Jesus also may be manifested in our mortal flesh. So death works in us, but life in you. But having the same spirit of faith, according to what is written, I believe, therefore I spoke. We also believe, therefore we also speak, knowing that he who raised the Lord Jesus will raise us also with Jesus, and will present us with you. For all things are for your sakes, so that the grace which is spreading to more and more people may cause the giving of thanks to abound to the glory of God. Therefore, we do not lose heart, but though our outer man is decaying, yet our inner man is being renewed day by day. For momentary light affliction is producing for us an eternal weight of glory far beyond all comparison, while we look not at the things which are seen, but at the things which are not seen. For the things which are seen are temporal, but the things which are not seen are eternal. And now Romans 8, verses 18 through 37. For I consider that the sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory that is to be revealed to us. For the anxious longing of the creation waits eagerly for the revealing of the sons of God. For the creation was subjected to futility, not willingly, but because of him who subjected it, in hope that the creation itself also will be set free from its slavery to corruption into the freedom of the glory of the children of God. For we know that the whole creation groans and suffers the pains of childbirth together until now. And not only this, but also we ourselves, having the first fruits of the Spirit, even we ourselves groan within ourselves, waiting eagerly for our adoption as sons, the redemption of our body. For in hope we have been saved. But hope that is seen is not hope, for who hopes for what he already sees? But if we hope for what we do not see, with perseverance we wait eagerly for it. In the same way, the Spirit also helps our weakness, for we do not know how to pray as we should. But the Spirit himself intercedes for us with groanings too deep for words. And he who searches the hearts knows what the mind of the Spirit is, because he intercedes for the saints according to the will of God. And we know that God causes all things to work together for good to those who love God, to those who are called according to his purpose. For those whom he foreknew, he also predestined to become conformed to the image of his Son, so that he would be the firstborn among many brethren. And these whom he predestined, he also called. And these whom he called, he also justified. And these whom he justified, he also glorified. What then shall we say to these things? If God is for us, who is against us? He who did not spare his own Son, but delivered him over for us all, how will he not also with him freely give us all things? Who will bring a charge against God's elect? God is the one who justifies. Who is the one who condemns? Christ Jesus is he who died, yes, rather, who was raised, who is at the right hand of God, who also intercedes for us. Who will separate us from the love of Christ? Will tribulation, or distress, or persecution, or famine, or nakedness, or peril, or sword? Just as it is written, "For your sake we are being put to death all day long. We were considered sheep to be slaughtered." But in all these things we overwhelmingly conquer through him who loved us. And next, Philippians 2, verses 1 through 18. Therefore, if there is any encouragement in Christ, if there is any consolation of love, if there is any fellowship of the Spirit, if any affection and compassion, make my joy complete by being of the same mind, maintaining the same love, united in spirit, intent on one purpose. Do nothing from selfishness or empty conceit, but with humility of mind regard one another as more important than yourselves. Do not merely look out for your own personal interests, but also for the interests of others. Have this attitude in yourselves, which was also in Christ Jesus, who, although he existed in the form of God, did not regard equality with God a thing to be grasped, but emptied himself, taking the form of a bondservant and being made in the likeness of men. Being found in appearance as a man, he humbled himself by becoming obedient to the point of death, even death on a cross. For this reason also God highly exalted him and bestowed on him the name which is above every name, so that at the name of Jesus every knee will bow, of those who are in heaven and on earth and under the earth, and that every tongue will confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. So then, my beloved, just as you have always obeyed, not as in my presence only, but now much more in my absence, work out your salvation with fear and trembling. For it is God who is at work in you, both to will and to work for his good pleasure. Do all things without grumbling or disputing, so that you will prove yourself to be blameless and innocent, children of God above reproach in the midst of a crooked and perverse generation, among whom you appear as lights in the world, holding fast the word of life, so that in the day of Christ I will have reason to glory, because I did not run in vain, nor toil in vain. But even if I am being poured out as a drink offering upon the sacrifice and service of your faith, I rejoice and share my joy with you all. You too, I urge you, rejoice in the same way and share your joy with me. And now Matthew 16, verse 25. For whoever wishes to save his life will lose it, but whoever loses his life for my sake will find it. And lastly, Psalm 100. Shout joyfully to the Lord, all the earth. Serve the Lord with gladness. Come before him with joyful singing. Know that the Lord himself is God. It is he who has made us, and not we ourselves. We are his people and the sheep of his pasture. Enter his gates with thanksgiving and his courts with praise. Give thanks to him. Bless his name, for the Lord is good. His loving kindness is everlasting, and his faithfulness to all generations.
God bless you, everybody. Bye-bye.